I'm Jill Griffin, and this is the Career Refresh Podcast. I'm a former media and marketing executive turned career strategist and strengths coach. I spent my career working my way up and through the ranks of global organizations and startups. And today, I show others how to do the same. Join me each week as we discuss the strategies to leverage your strengths, increase your confidence and visibility, and reset your career with actionable steps towards a finer future. Ready? Let's do it. Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm glad you're here. This week, I want to talk about executive presence. I always find it's funny that there are themes that tend to pop up in the work I do with my private clients. And lately, many of my clients have been eager to ground and up-level the concept of their own executive presence. An executive presence, or EP, is about creating and curating your personal brand. You have to craft it before it's crafted for you. Executive presence is the amalgam of a few qualities that can be hard at times to put your finger on exactly what it is. Confidence, poise, authenticity. These are some of the qualities that are typically associated with executive presence. An EP is viewed as essential to your success as you up-level your career, regardless of your field, your level, or occupation. Executive presence determines whether you will gain access to an opportunity. There's a saying in leadership that states, all important decisions about you will be made when you are not in the room. And at times that really becomes the reality. Whether it's a decision about an important opportunity, a promotion to a critical role or assignment, or a high visibility project, that decision is most likely going to be made when you're not in the room. The opportunities you gain access to depends on the confidence that you've inspired about yourself to the decision makers. And the more significant the opportunity, the more important your executive presence becomes. Most of the articles and books on this topic are outdated, and at sometimes they're 10 or more years old. And I find at times what they're talking about is really offensive. The core of the outdated thinking is that by conforming to the norms set by conservative white culture, you'll move up the ladder. An executive presence is often described by three core pillars: how you act, which is like gravitas, how you speak, and the big woof is the appearance. Before we go further digging into executive presence, I want to call out that these pillars can be incredibly biased, leading towards ageism, sexism, and racism. Our own bias have the potential to detract and marginalize a colleague, and the result limits diversity of thinking, innovation, and thought leadership. Outdated and inherently biased thinking may have an expectation that you dress and speak by the former professional standards, meaning the classic use of language, the navy suit, the straight-laced grooming and polish. And if you feel great about using what is defined as a classic approach, then continue, carry on, do it. Your confidence and stature will soar when you feel good about yourself and you feel confident in your appearance. But if you're doing it because you feel like you have to fit in, then it's going to show in your energy and performance, and it is wrong. You'll be struggling for words and you'll be feeling really inauthentic. Speech and appearance-related bias infringes on fundamental rights, compromises merit principles, reinforces debilitating stereotypes, and compounds the disadvantages of race, class, age, and gender. We need to broaden our view of executive presence. And this is why I'm doing this podcast. It's also why diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DE&I work, must be mandatory within every company. And for anyone who leads people and you're listening, executive presence is not about making your colleagues be more like you or someone else. I have smashed the former approach and I have taken a fresh take on executive presence. And I applied this when I was still working in corporate, and this is now what I work with my clients on. My mission is that employees everywhere have access to new ways of thinking and exposure and the opportunity to create a positive workplace culture. If you don't know, you don't know. So now you're going to know. And this is why I do the work. This is why I put out a podcast each week. I believe that executive presence really comes down to three main pillars: how you anticipate, how you communicate, and how you activate yourself and others. We need to smash the nonsense that we need to conform to our way of being in order to succeed. And I'm not talking about results or goals. Those priorities are set at the ELT level. I'm talking about smashing our previous notion of what is executive presence. So let's unpack my approach to EP and the pillars of anticipate, communicate, and activate. At times they may blur into each other and it's hard to thin slice your thoughts from your words and the actions you might take, but stay with me. Not everyone is going to excel and be strong on all pillars, but this is an area where you tap into and leverage your strengths. So the first pillar of anticipate is about thinking strategically and planning what's to come. This is about a little bit of healthy neuroses that keeps you incredibly effective and solution-oriented. And you want to think about the energy and the mindset you need to bring to a situation. Your energy can repel or you can be magnetic. Your results are going to be created because you anticipated the situation and thought through how to tackle the challenge. Fear and chaos are contagious, but so is positivity. So the energy you bring is going to show up in the environment, in the culture of the team, and the outcome. It can be really helpful for you to run positive scenarios in your head. What needs to happen? How do I want to show up? See yourself bringing positive energy to the challenge. Visualizing yourself, answering questions, speaking to colleagues, imagining yourself presenting to the group, seeing faces nod and align in agreement. This helps. This works because it relaxes any stress or fear or anxiety that you are experiencing. And then your brain gets to practice how to act and respond in advance. It's really asking yourself, what would a person do who knew how to already handle the situation? And if you're already that person who got the opportunity, how would you then act? And don't say you don't know. You have examples around you from literature, film, people you know that inspire you how you want to act. Picture yourself in the room where it's happening, so to speak. Visualizing successful completion of a project is going to positively impact your energy and how you maintain your cool and calm and how you operate under stress. Sean Anker is a psychiatrist who studies psychology, happiness, and human potential. He calls it the science of happiness. What Sean tells us is that if we can raise someone's level of positivity in the present, their brain then experiences what's called the happiness advantage. And that is the name of his book, The Happiness Advantage by Sean Anker. Your brain, fueled on positivity, performs significantly better than it does when it's negative, neutral, or in a stressed state. Your intelligence, creativity, your energy level all rise when you have a positive mindset. Every business outcome improves. Increased sales, more collaboration, more resiliency, and a decrease in burnout. Your brain at positive is 31% more productive than your brain at negative, neutral, or stressed. 75% of job success is predicted by optimism levels, your social support, and your ability to see stress as a challenge versus a threat. If you can find the way to become positive in the present, then your brain will work to be even more successful. If you can change the lens of how you view something, you change your reality. And the most practiced thinking wins. Leveraging your strengths of self and situational awareness, empathy, resilience will help you and serve you well in the anticipate pillar. Our next pillar of executive presence is communicate. This pillar is about your tone of voice, your body language, like eye contact, your thinking through what you want to say and do in order to communicate, connect, inspire, and create buy-in with others. At times, it's called a softer skill, and some folks are born with this naturally, but it certainly is something that can be learned through coaching. Being a strong leader involves effectively delegating tasks and assuring all team members are meeting the goals. It's creating and communicating the plan or the path forward with complete transparency in a way that teammates are motivated and inspired. Communication is finding the way to make it about their needs, not yours, while upholding the company's priorities and core values. This is where you really think through how you want to leverage your strengths and use your excellent communication and negotiation skills. It's how you choose your words to create a collaborative and culturally inclusive dynamic with teammates. You can either inspire or incite. How do you want to wield your influence? And we all have influence regardless of our title. Possessing strong communication skills helps mitigate and avoid conflict. And when conflict arises, you've built a reputation built on transparency and trust, and this will aid you in a mutually beneficial resolution. Being able to effectively and fairly negotiate is necessary for both business success, maintaining positive relationships across your teams, your vendors, and your clients. No one wants to work with a partner who's left them with little breathing room in the final deal. I always suggest to clients that they think of 10 or more things that you want to negotiate, get clear in your non-negotiables, and rank them in your priority order. And then you have some wiggle room, and the other party doesn't feel like they're given into everything, which lends itself to a level of fairness and a greater chance that there'll be little of no resentment. Leveraging your strengths of consistency and harmony is where you realize this. After negotiation is the stewardship, and effective communication will carry stewardship, build trust, and increase overall satisfaction. Effective listening is probably the most important aspect of the communication pillar. If you find yourself in this position of already thinking about your answer while the other person is still talking, you're probably not listening. The communicate pillar is thinking what needs to be said. Does it need to be said by me? Does it need to be said by me right now? How you want to say it? And then finding the commonality and relatability between parties. It's not about winning. I hear clients tell me they want to win the argument or the negotiation. And if you're winning, that means someone is losing. And you know what? If you're never going to work with the person again, fine. Losing may not be a problem. But losing can be crushing to the other. And the communicate pillar of executive presence is about finding what motivates the other so that you can move forward towards the end goal. If you are creating a partnership, whether this is like working as a cross athlete across multiple departments, or you're working with your direct reports, then everyone needs to feel like they have some sort of win so that they're motivated to create the mutually beneficial outcome. If they feel like they're losing in this and there's no cash and prizes at the end of the rainbow, at the end of the task, well, then why would they do this? It's not about winning and losing. It's about finding the mutual wins. The last pillar of executive presence is activate. And as a leader, if you define your jobs in terms of the end product delivered, you've now downshifted your leadership into technical work. While managing results, staying on budget, hitting the goals is all necessary, you are in a leadership position to nurture employee engagement, career progression, thought leadership, team development, so that your team is performing at an increased level of productivity. You don't get results without the people. Your work as a leader is to activate others. And that's not synonymous with the team's technical work. Your work is more about the people than the technical work. Leadership is defined by many things, but for this particular podcast, I am looking at how I can activate others and use my skills as a way to achieve something that I can't achieve alone. And therefore, I must engage and motivate others. I must activate them. Your role as a leader is to create the capacity for the result. This looks like telling the team what the end result or goal is, but not micromanaging them along the way. I often hear people say to me, well, it's just easier if I do it myself. And I get that. But that's not thinking and activating how to train another team member. If you want to think about their strengths, You want to think about their strengths and the tools that you can use in order to amplify their strengths. What would be possible if you stepped out of the weeds and allowed the team to work while you anticipated the next challenge and created a plan to activate on the next solution? What would be possible if you allowed another colleague or a deputy step up into that role for them to manage the team, therefore they're getting more hands-on experience? To me, executive presence is about being able to read the room, identify what motivates, inspires, and engages an audience at varying levels to influence opinion, rally support, and build credibility. Study others who emulate the executive presence that you want. Look for things like communication, positivity, confidence, poise, decisiveness, calm under stress, vision, collaboration. Decide what aspects you want to practice. This is going to require mindset work, but you can totally up-level your executive presence and create enormous opportunities for yourself. It's totally possible. Okay, my friends, that's it for this week on executive presence. But before I go, I want to talk to you. If you are looking for support, I'd love to be your coach. I am launching a Career Strengths group coaching program that will help you leverage your strengths, get clear on your skills and values, create executive presence, plus help you create a career narrative, which is essential if you are interviewing for a new job or making a career change or even looking for a way to up-level within your current company. I'll put the link to get on the list for more information in the show notes. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Career Refresh podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast and you want more career and mindset tips, get on my email list by going to jillgriffincoaching.com. I'll also put that link in the show notes. But before you go, please rate and review this podcast as it helps me get the word out to people everywhere so they can also thrive in the workplace. I'll see you next time.